I'm Coach Seb, and this is Running New Mexico. My guest today is Liz Lopez. She graduated from New Mexico State University, where she competed in the 5K and 10K. She's created Endurance Nutrition. She's a runner and dietitian nutrition coach who helps active people feel better to improve performance. You can find her at Endurance with Liz, which I'll put in the show notes. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. So happy to be here.
I'm happy that you're here as well. I've always wanted to have a nutritionist, someone talk about nutrition, but I think especially during this time, it might be a good way to help motivate and have people thinking about what we're doing.
Absolutely.
My first question is, how did you get into running?
Oh, I have my dad to thank for me for that. I've always been an athlete. I was a gymnast before I was a runner, and I started gymnastics when I was like 4 or 5, and I did that till about 7th grade. And then once I hit 7th grade, I just found gymnastics wasn't for me anymore. And my dad at the time, well, for pretty much my whole life, has been a cross country and track coach. So he encouraged me to go out and just run with his team like the summer of my 7th grade year. And I was hooked ever since. So, running has always been part of me. I've always went to the track meets and cross country meets. I rode the bus with him to his track and cross country meet. So I guess running's in my blood, and because I have a lot of family members that are runners too. And that's just kind of how I fell into running.
Did he end up coaching you in high school?
Not in high school, but he did for my 7th and 8th grade year. So he coached me through my middle school. And then when I went to high school, he ended up becoming the assistant principal of the high school. So I guess you can always say he's always been my coach because he's my dad and he's always coached me. But to my official coach, he officially coached me in my 7th and 8th grade year.
And what took you to NMSU?
I wanted to stay near home. I'm like a really a big homebody, and I love my family, and I knew I just wanted to be close to home. And New Mexico State was pretty much an hour away from where I grew up. So that's kind of how I fell to NMSU.
What was it like running for D1, Division I?
Oh, gosh. So there's a story in this, too. But I loved it because I had such a great experience. So my teammates and I have pretty much become best friends from then to now. And we haven't seen each other in a while. But whenever we see each other, we just pick up back right where we left off. So we always told each other, you know, we're more like family than teammates because we spent so many endless hours of practice, traveling, and just kind of spending time with each other. So that's kind of what made my experience the best at a Division I college. But for me to run at Division I college is a little bit of a story because in high school, I wasn't like I wasn't like a standout runner where I won a lot of meets or even went to state track meets a whole lot. But I ended up going to New Mexico State, and I was never really recruited by a college at all. And I went to New Mexico State, and I remember going to the coach saying, I want to walk on to your team, which I don't even know people do this now these days, going to a Division I college and saying, hey, I want to walk on because I just love running. So I had like this whole speech planned out for the coach at the time. And it was probably pretty much the easiest conversation I've ever had in my life. You know, I went through my whole speech and he was like, okay, you can join. And I was like, what? I was thinking, okay, I thought this was going to be a fight because this is like a Division I cross country and track team that I'm trying to get myself as a walk on. So that was just kind of blew my mind then. But then my sophomore year, I earned a scholarship as a Division I runner. And I, you know, I worked my butt off. So to get to Division I and being a scholarship at Division I, I guess you can say I really earned it because, you know, I worked my butt off my freshman year. And soon enough, you know, showing up and working hard, I ended up earning my scholarship for the rest of my college career.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was such a great experience.
And I know that that does happen sometimes. I actually had a former runner of mine who walked on to Texas A&M. He hasn't earned a scholarship, but he has competed for them.
Cool. Yeah, it happened.
To know what you want and to go after it and then to have it come so easily, that must have felt pretty cool.
Yeah, obviously it wasn't easy because I really had to like show up at practice at 6:30 a.m. and just kind of maybe prove myself a little bit more than the athletes that were recruited. But yeah, it was. I mean, I guess looking back at it wasn't as hard as I was expecting, but it didn't come with hard work.
What got you into nutrition?
So it kind of just fell in my lap too. Because I went into college thinking I was going to become a doctor. So my freshman year in college, I did, all these super hard courses to, carve my way to become the path of a doctor. But then towards the end of my freshman year, I just knew, I don't know, I just knew in me, in my gut, that it wasn't for me. So I had a guidance counselor during college, and they said, "Well, how about you try nutrition?" At the time, I had absolutely no idea what that even meant, but I knew I was a runner, and I knew that what I ate mattered to help my performance. So I thought, "Well, why not? Let me learn about this, and maybe I can help other people with it." So that's kind of how I became into the field of nutrition.
Sometimes things like that happen for a reason, and we're meant to follow that. On your website with the nutrition, you talk about an internship with Sodexo. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but what is that, and how has that informed your practice?
Sodexo was my dietetic internship. So I'm a registered dietitian, and to become a registered dietitian, there's quite a bit of steps to it. So first you have to get a bachelor's in nutrition, and then you have to apply and be placed into an internship, which gives you about 1,200 supervised practice hours. And then after that, you have to sit for a national exam and pass the exam. And then as you're in your years of a dietitian, you have to maintain a certain level of continuing education credits to maintain your RD status. So if you're ever wondering like what a di the difference between a registered dietitian and nutritionist is, that's the difference. Is there's a path, there's a hard path to get to earn your credentials as a registered dietitian. Really, anyone can go take an online course for a week and call themselves a nutritionist. So just know that registered dietitians really do earn their credentials.
That's good to know. How has what you've learned helped you become a better runner?
So I think I've always kind of had this innate knowing, like innate. I just knew that nutrition was super important to help me become a better runner. I think my path as into nutrition has just kind of really solidified it and just helped me understand the importance of it, the importance of all the macronutrients, the importance of vitamins, and kind of just really understanding the process of how our body actually processes it and uses it, I think has just really helped me just make sure that yes, I'm adequately fueling myself, which is the most important, and being flexible with my food choices has also kind of come to light for me as well in my journey to become a dietitian. Is it's not like just this cookie cutter nutrition plan that fits for everybody, but it has to be individualized. And my eating is going to look very different from even like my husband's eating or my friend's eating or other runners' eating. So I think just knowing that having a depth of knowledge and that sort of thing has helped me just make sure I'm fueled so I can run my best.
And I think you kind of touched on it in that answer, but you created Endurance Nutrition. Endurance is lit with Liz is what you kind of call it on social media and your website. Mm-hmm. Can you just tell me a little bit more about what you are trying to provide or do for runners and other people?
Yeah. So a little backstory about Endurance Nutrition. I actually opened it in 2012, kind of as a side thing. And I went into it thinking, oh, you know, I want to help people, but I wasn't exactly sure how. So I was kind of just seeing everybody and anyone, but it probably wasn't until the past, I don't know, 3-4 years where I really nailed down my niche and really nailed down like, okay, who do I want to help and how do I want to help them? And I knew I loved to run and I knew I could help people who either run or just even mainly active people, people who like to hike, people who, you know, like to go to the gym or, you know, do yoga or an exercise class. But I have also seen so many people have like really rigid rules around eating. So that's what I help people do is kind of free themselves from all the rigid rules to help them have a better performance, to have to make sure they're fueled for their run or fueled for their hike, to really just help them run faster. And the main thing is really helping them have a better relationship with food and not have kind of like a moralistic value to food, meaning like not labeling foods good or bad or putting foods like I feel guilty for eating a pasta or I'm a bad person when I eat a donut. So it's kind of really changing and shifting their rigid mindset around food and how it actually is processed through their body.
That makes sense. I think a lot of runners and people in general could use that.
I guess you can say like my little tagline is like fuel your winning pace. I'll put it kind of at the end of my email or sometimes I'll do on Instagram, the story. So I'll put like fuel your winning pace, like a series like I'm doing. But anyways, that kind of just make what that means is it's kind of like pacing yourself through eating. So running is a lot about being, you know, pacing yourself and being gentle with yourself and, you know, being flexible with your pace. And so that kind of, I want that kind of thinking to kind of transfer into eating as well as like, you know, focus on your own race, run your own race, pace yourself, you know, try to block out all the noise, like, you know, the diets, advice from your mom, advice from your friends. It's like, you know, run your own race so you can feel your own pace. So that's kind of another kind of background to why I created Endurance Nutrition.
I think that's a good way to look at it. You talked about that rigidity a lot that people have around their eating habits. Is that the mistake you see most often from runners?
Yeah, I think that's one of them. Another main one of them is underfueling, which is usually stemmed from the rules that they have on food or even just influenced by our culture itself. You know, we have a heavy diet culture that, you know, it's very heavily influenced in our society that puts a lot of rules on food, and that comes with, you know, really under fueling. And then another reason I see under fueling is not just kind of a lack of understanding of what your body cues are telling you. So a couple of things I work a lot on with my clients is getting them really in tuned to their hunger and their fullness cues, because this could be such the most important guide for knowing when you need to eat and how much is enough. And I like to use a scale of 1 to 10. So 1 being like you're absolutely starving and 10 being you're absolutely stuffed. And in terms of the fullness level, you want to be around a 6 or a 7. And that kind of feels comfortable, that feels satisfied, that feels like you can mentally and physically move on with the rest of your day without having to think about food, without, you know, being hungry in the next 30 minutes. So that's kind of one thing I really work on with my clients is kind of just getting really connected to their body cues and how they can use that to help them fuel for their run, where they're their sport.
On that note, I do coach distance high school girls in the for track, and I work with the cross country teams, both boys and girls. Mm-hmm. And it can be tough to have a conversation with them about how they need a fuel through the day so they're ready for that 3 p.m. practice, especially, you know, during regular times. Now we would be meeting and it'd be in the, you know, low to mid 70s. And so obviously hydration is a big thing. But what could a coach do to talk to those high schoolers who often are just kind of grabbing whatever they can?
Yeah, I guess just kind of really emphasizing the importance that they got to come to practice ready to run and be fueled ready to run, because you don't, like, if you're feeling sluggish in your workouts, that's a sign that you're under fueling. If you're feeling like tired all day, that's another sign that you're under fueling. So just kind of really emphasizing the importance to become to practice, you know, ready to run and be fueled, ready to run, so they can get their best times and they can get the fast times and not feel like they're bonking in the middle of their workout. Because you can definitely underfuel yourself and still feel good in practice, but it's not going to last for very long. Like, eventually you're going to be injured. Eventually you're going to feel sluggish. Eventually you're just not going to feel that energy for the practice. So the most important things for practice is, you know, you want something with carbohydrates and something with a protein. So some examples, I'm going to back up a little bit, because I know I have worked with high schoolers before, and I think the biggest thing that I've come across with high schoolers is they don't eat lunch. And that just kind of blows my mind, is how can you absolutely not eat lunch and expect to go and do this super hard workout without anything in your system? And they say, oh, I'll eat an apple, or I'll eat an apple with some pretzels. That's not going to cut it. That's not going to get you your best time. That's not going to help you fuel properly. So it's about the combinations of foods. So, you know, there's carbohydrates, there's proteins, there's fats, and there's fruits and vegetables. You absolutely need those things at lunch. So those are like the four things you want to have at lunch. So it's, even if it's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with some carrot sticks and maybe a yogurt cup, or maybe it's a turkey wrap with some veggies and some applesauce, or maybe it's even like a bagel with some banana and some honey drizzled over it. You know, those are something substantial that's going to give you the energy for practice. And then even paying attention right before practice, like 30 minutes to an hour before practice, pay attention to those hunger cues, because you may need to top off your energy levels with something just small and quick, something with like 30 grams of carbohydrate. So something like a half of a bagel, or maybe it's an energy gel, or maybe it's a, you know, a Gatorade that you swig down, or even just a cup of oatmeal or a piece of fruit. My to-go right before a workout is a banana. So you want to find something that's going to give you quick energy and that's going to digest well.
That's good to know. I think that'll be helpful. And from my own experience, I was and still am that runner, I guess I should say. One of my co-coaches had asked me about cardio fasting, and I didn't know what that was. So I looked it up, and, you know, it's not eating three hours or more before you go out for do your cardio workout. And I was looking at it like, oh, that's what I do. I get up in the morning, I get a drink of water, and I go for my run. I don't think about fueling. I don't think about, I'm like, I don't want something in my stomach that's going to be sitting there. But hearing you talk, I think I never looked at it. I think it's looking at it in a way, like you said, something that's going to digest, where you're not going to be feeling that heaviness, I guess, mm-hmm. in your stomach.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it took me a while to kind of figure out, okay, what are those foods I know I can kind of put in my mouth real quick, like 30 minutes before I go for a run, that's, I know is going to get me through the workout and make me kind of feel strong. And it's kind of just a little trial and error in the beginning to kind of figure out what that is. But starting with something that's, you know, easily digested, that has about 30 grams of carbohydrates, is a good place to start.
On that note of running, coaching with high school students, we've had a lot in the news recently, especially surrounding Roberto Salazar and Mary Kane, and many other women have come out, or girls have come out, about him and other coaches that they've dealt with, and kind of putting in these negative thoughts about not just eating habits, but body weight. And I think all coaches, I think all good coaches are conscious of that. But what advice would you give to young girls about their eating habits and any negativity they feel about that?
Yeah, so I think the first point I really want to make to this is kind of just one, acknowledging, yes, we do live in a society right now that just really values thinness, but really we got to start changing that way of thinking. You know, nobody has the right to tell you what your body should or should not look like. And I think that's the most important thing. You know, not your parents, not your coach, not your best friend, not your Aunt Sally. You know, nobody should tell you that your race weight is going to get you your best fitness. Like if you lose weight, you're going to get your best fitness. And that shouldn't be the way of thinking, and kind of starting to challenge that way of thinking by just knowing that it's about being fueled that's going to get you your best time. It's about eating that's going to get you best time, not being valued by your weight. Like your running shouldn't be valued by how low your weight is. You know, you're not going to get your fastest times by being the thinnest that you can be, because that's just going to leave you depleted. That's going to leave you tired, sluggish, and, you know, more prone to injury. And another thing to kind of make normal is that your weight is going to change. Your weight shouldn't be exactly the same, especially as a high school student. Your weight is going to shift and change. You know, your body's going to change based on your energy, or your training level. Our body's job is to help us survive, and our body's job is to help us get through training. So it's going to adjust to do that. So sometimes in a training cycle, you may lose weight, and sometimes in a training cycle, you might gain weight. But both of those are normal, because our body's job is to help us survive and help us get through that training. So knowing that, you know, trying to manipulate what your body is doing and trying to go against it really isn't going to get you anywhere. It's just going to cause a lot of frustration. It's going to cause injury. It's going to just not make you feel your best or even you perform your best. So that's kind of the first point I want to make. So then what should you do is really nourish yourself is what you should do. So that's kind of where I want to shift the conversation to, kind of really ditch that way of thinking that thinner is faster. Thinner is not faster. Being fueled is going to get you faster. Being adequately fueled. You know, we talked about the number one thing that most runners do is underfuel themselves. So it's listening to those hunger and fullness cues is going to help you get to be adequately fueled, and having those different food categories on your plate is going to help you get you fueled as well. So it's, you know, it's more about eating a variety of foods, being flexible with your eating, and working with your body and not against your body, because your body is on your team. Your body is your teammate, and so is food. Like, food should be part of your team as well, because as a runner, you have several components of you that make you a runner. It's not just you physically going out there and running. That doesn't make you a runner. Being fueled makes you a runner. Being, you know, mentally healthy makes you a runner. Being, you know, putting the work physically makes you a runner. So just knowing there's multiple things that make you a runner, and it's not just about being thin that's going to make you a faster runner. Yeah, so don't let numbers define your health or define your running, because I know as runners, we are very number oriented. You know, we value the, like, okay, I just ran 10 miles, and you get satisfaction of that, with that. We like that we see our faster times and get satisfaction about with that, but don't transfer that to food. You know, it's not about getting less calories. It's not about having the weight on the scale be as low as we can. It's about being fueled so that you can run your own race and your best race.
I think that's that was well put. And I can't wait to share that with them.
Yeah, I hope we start just shifting the conversation because and having more conversations about that too. And I guess I encourage all coaches to kind of start having conversations among themselves about, you know, how can you really create an environment on your team that it's more about being fueled and having nutrition on your side versus kind of the enemy. You know, food is not the enemy. It should be part of your team.
Absolutely. Before I shift into these next questions, I just want to give a quick shout out to my co-coaches, Dominic and Will, and a couple of my runners, Bella and Alyssa. When I was coming up for these questions with you, I decided to reach out to them as well, just to kind of get some different ideas of what I should ask. So one of them is, after a hard workout, you have that lactic acid building up, what kind of fuel should you be going for?
Yeah, so this kind of goes with the underfueling as well, as making sure that you're fueling at least within, you know, 30 minutes to an hour after your run with some type of carbohydrate and some type of protein. So if a lot of times, if you're not hungry, especially after a hard workout, go for more something like liquidy, like a smoothie with maybe either protein powder or something that's made with like milk and yogurt. So if you don't like protein powder, you can put milk or yogurt to get adequate protein in it. But it's having those two combinations that are going to help repair just kind of the stress that you put on your body and help you refuel. So some other ideas could be a piece of fruit with some nut butter or a handful of nuts. You could have some tuna with some crackers, some turkey with some cheese and apple slices, yogurt or cottage cheese with fruit and granola. So it's kind of just those combinations, eggs and toast with some butter on top of the toast, because it's going to get you some fat and some flavor in your food. So it's really about having that good combination of carbohydrates and proteins to just help refuel you after a run and help repair those muscles and tissues. And then another thing with, you know, maybe a couple hours after you work out, is really load up on a lot of fruits and vegetables, because the antioxidants from those fruits and vegetables are going to help kind of move out that lactic acid.
I like how with each of these examples you're giving, one, you're giving lots of good examples that I think are easy to reach for any runner, but also there's kind of vegetarian options. As long as there's a protein, it doesn't necessarily have to be meat.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can certainly do it vegetarian. One thing I do recommend if you do vegetarian is I often tell my vegetarian runners is to have at least two proteins, because you do have to focus a little bit more on getting more protein as a vegetarian, because there's not as easy access to protein as like animal meat has a lot of protein, and you really have to combine like two plant bases of protein to really get about the same amount of protein as like something from an animal product.
Well, that's good to know. You know, when someone's upping their training to move up to a marathon or even an ultra, how should their fuel intake change?
There's really no difference than what I've been saying. It's more about, you know, making sure you're listening to your hunger and your fullness cues and eating more often than you probably think you should. Like, I'm going to use myself as an example, because when I'm training for marathons, I am pretty much constantly hungry all the time. Like, I'm probably hungry every 2 hours. And so it's about getting those combinations of carbohydrates, proteins, fats, and fruits and vegetables into your day and having them spread out through your day. So you're not having to rely on, you know, really big meals, and kind of maybe spreading your protein out through the day, spreading your carbohydrate out through the day. So it's having your meals, but also knowing that you probably need some snacks between your main meals as well would probably be the biggest difference when you're really training for, you know, something like a marathon or even an ultra marathon. It's kind of always constantly having something that you can fuel yourself with.
On that note, talking about changing from, you know, going up to marathons, ultra marathons, how does your body change as you get older as far as your fueling needs?
There's not a huge, like, significant difference that research has shown. You probably will need a little more protein than, say, a younger person, but it's not that significant of a difference. There's what's actually some new guidelines that have come out for protein levels that people, like, the recommendation protein levels for endurance athletes. And the range between for that and the range for, say, even a master's level athlete, like somebody that's greater than 40, isn't that much difference. So the new range is 1.6 to 2.4 kilograms per gram of body weight. So it's within that range. So it's not that significant of a difference, but as an older athlete, now that I'm 40, I guess I'm considered a master's athlete, but I have also noticed, like, protein, it has helped me a lot in recovery, and focusing more on getting that in has helped me a lot with recovery, quicker recovery now that I'm kind of older.
Is there any foods that we should be just absolutely avoiding?
No. And I say that because, you know, there's no good foods and there's no bad foods. It's about how you use that food to help you train. There's room for all foods. There's even room for those brownies, and there's even room for cookies. But obviously, I mean, if all you're going to eat is brownies and cookies, that's not going to make you feel your best. It's about learning the combinations of foods that you enjoy, learning the combinations of foods that's going to leave you satisfied and make you feel your best, and knowing that not one food is going to wreck your training or even wreck your, like, the way that you feel. It's just about knowing what combinations of foods work for you the best.
Again, I think that's a good way to put that. It's kind of interesting watching ultra marathoners because they stop at these aid stations that have really just about everything. Mm-hmm. There's gummies, there's, like, half burritos, there's, I mean, I did a relay one and I was just in shock of all the things that they offered, because every runner needs something different after being out there for hours and hours on end. Do you feel like an ultra marathoner is a little bit more in tune with their body because they have to fuel so much during these runs?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think they could possibly. I think there's definitely more of a nutrition strategy as an ultra marathoner. I've actually never done an ultra marathoner, but I've had friends that do an ultra marathoner, and there's a lot of planning that that's involved with, you know, setting up their nutrition for throughout their race. And I have a really good friend who's an ultra marathoner, and she put a picture of all her things that she's going to have her crew have available for her. And it's amazing. Like, you really do have to plan, like, what you're going to eat when you do an ultra marathon. So yeah, they could possibly be a little bit more in tune, but not necessarily.
When you are getting ready for your race and you're there on that starting line, what's going through your mind?
Yeah. So lately what's been going through my mind is, you know, I start off steady, you know, don't get overwhelmed by everybody around you. You know, now that I'm running more races that are kind of bigger and, you know, people are flying by you at the beginning of the race. So I'm really having to, like, really focus, stay focused on me and, like, not worry about everybody around me because everybody's running at a different pace anyway. So that's my number one thing is, like, start off steady. Don't get excited. Because I've done that before, gone out too fast, and then, you know, by mile 18, I'm done.
What's been your biggest disappointment in running?
My biggest disappointment in running was my senior year of high school. I was at my district meet. I was running the mile, and from when the gun went off, I was actually leading the race the whole way until maybe the last 50 meters of the race. the person behind me just passed me like right at the finish line. And that race has like, hurt my soul. I'm even scarred from it to this day, because I really wanted to win that district meet race. You know, I was a senior. I wanted to go out with a bang. And I was also trying to qualify for state that year too, which I did. But that race still hurts. Hurts my pride a little bit.
Those high school races, they stick with you for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess now that I'm older, it's more about I'm struggling with, I'm not recovering as fast as I used to, like in my 20s and my 30s. And I'm finding I'm having to like really strategically plan my long runs and my hard workouts and space them out farther to give myself more recovery time. So that's kind of kind of frustrating for me right now. So I'm really focusing on just getting some good stretching and, you know, getting some more strength in my core. But yeah, other than that, I'm good.
Yeah. What keeps you motivated in your running?
Oh, I got to keep it fun. You know, especially now, you know, I had a son 4 years ago. He's four now. And running looks so different for me now. And I'm finding like other motivators to get out and run are so different for me than what I was even like, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. You know, 4 or 5 years ago, my motivator was, okay, I got to train because I want to run fast at this race. Now I'm like, okay, I want to just go out and like feel the sun on my face and try a new loop. So those are like my motivators now. It's just to get outside and I can have like time for me I love my son and I don't want to sound like I just want to get away from him, but it's like me time is like so important, more important for me right now. And that's kind of been my motivation to just get out there and like, okay, this is me time. I can, you know, just go out for a run and like block everything out and just feel the sun and the wind on my face.
Like you talk about me time. I think a lot of people are probably feeling that right now because we're not necessarily confined to our homes, but there's not a whole lot of places you can go. And, you know, one of the places is going out to the supermarket for your groceries and all of that. What would you say to someone before they go to kind of help them? Like you said, there's no bad foods, but definitely there's better options than picking up 3 bags of chips and, you know, a bunch of dip to snack on. What options would you give them heading into the grocery store, kind of setting up for the week?
Yeah, so I like to make my grocery list based on the sections of the grocery store. So there's the fruit and vegetable section, there's the meat section, there's the shelf section, and then there's the cold section where you find like the dairy products, eggs, frozen fruits, frozen vegetables. So that's kind of the cold section. So having your grocery list like put in sections, it was going to help you know that you're going to get all of the food groups in a variety of foods. And I think that's the key. Even for now, is kind of we're probably cooking more at home. We're not eating out quite as much. But even creating your grocery list or even your menu to have all of the food groups on your plate. So that's the easiest way to kind of do it, is kind of just go through the sections of the grocery store knowing that you're going to be picking up something from each food group in each section.
What's been your biggest success in running?
My senior year of college, at the conference championships, I was third in the 10,000 meters. And I feel that's kind of just been my success of all time in my running career, is being third at a conference meet in a district, you know, Division I conference championship meet. And then that's our team actually won that championship meet as well. So that was just a good day that I will always remember.
That's awesome. That does sound pretty fun.
Yeah, New Orleans. It was in New Orleans, and there was a bunch of termites flying in the stadium lights, and it was so humid. They ran the 10,000 meters. I don't know, it was something ridiculous, like at 9 or 10 at night, because it was so hot and humid in New Orleans. They had to run it super late. So unfortunately, there was like nobody in the stands other than like your family member and your teammates. But it was a great race. My teammate and I won one and three. So my teammate got first and I got third.
That's awesome. Were there any races you were looking forward to this year?
Yeah, I was supposed to be in San Diego right now. Last week, I was supposed to run a half marathon there. So unfortunately, that got canceled. But hopefully things will lift, and I'm hoping to kind of get something in the fall somewhere. Probably a half.
And are you using this time to just continue with your training?
Yeah, pretty much. Yep. Yeah, nothing really has changed. I still go out for my runs. My family and I just did a hike yesterday, so sometimes there's days that I run and sometimes there's days I don't. But yeah, I'm still training.
What is your favorite workout?
You know, I really like hard effort long runs. Like to be able to go out and do like an 18 miler at hard effort is my that's my favorite workout. So it's like a little, like almost race pace is considered like my, what I like to do. It's like almost where I'm almost doing race pace, but I know I'm going to get the endurance and the strength that I need, because I always just feel so good after that.
How do you manage to fuel for a long run like that? Do you take gels and stuff with you, or do you have someone meet you?
I've done it both ways. What I usually do is just put like those little Stinger gummies in my pocket, or I'll use the Stinger gels in my pocket too. So then with the fuel, like with the liquids, sometimes I go hide it like in a bush. I'll have like several water bottles that I hide in the bush. So that kind of takes a little bit more time, because I don't like to carry things when I run. I'm very minimalist when I run. Like I just want it to be me. I don't want all these things I have to put around my waist, and I don't want anything in my hand. So, if I'm really training, you know, seriously for a marathon, I'll take the effort and like go hide my water bottles out on my course that I'm going to do.
Yeah, I've heard, I think it was Des Linden did a Q&A talking about that. And, you know, she obviously has people who can follow her in vehicles, bikes, and this and that all the time. But she did suggest something like that, hiding water bottles if you didn't have the options she does.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you can have a support person like follow you out along your course, that's definitely most ideal, because then you don't have to carry anything. I've had my dad do that. I've had my husband do that. So that works really well too.
My last question is, what is your go-to song to get pumped, get motivated, get moving?
I like the alternative rock genre of music, and I don't have like a certain song, but just something in alternative rock. You know, a couple of my favorite bands is Bastille or Passengers. I also like Imagine Dragons, Foster the People. So anything like in the alternative rock area kind of gets me pumped.
Well, thank you for your time.
Yeah, this was so great.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, I've had so much fun.
Is there anything else you'd like to say before I let you go?
No, I think I've said a lot of it. I think we've had a really good conversation, and hopefully helping people to kind of shift their thinking about what food really is, and kind of just start reframing the importance of food and not put like a moralistic value to it.
Thank you for taking the time to join me today. If you can, please rate and review, but most importantly, spread the word so we can grow this community. If you know of any runners that deserve a shout out or should be interviewed, or you just want to share your runs and connect with other people, use the hashtag RunningNM on Twitter and Instagram. You can also follow me at RunningNM on both these platforms. If you prefer to reach out by email, you can find me at runningnewmexico@gmail.com. Music was provided by Philip Friedman. You can follow him on SoundCloud under DJ Teach. And until next time, keep running, New Mexico.